Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Lent is the season for reflection on our faith. It's a time for us to, with earnest intent, reflect on who is the God of our faith and what has our God taught us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and what reprioritizing should we be doing in our life so that we can experience the fullness that God wants us to live in our life. We're being called to a fullness beyond just reacting to the things going on around us. Thank God for that. We're not just to react to the things around us. I have a friend named Tom, and Tom was raised in the golf business. His parents owned a golf course, and he grew up working on that golf course, and he became a PGA golf instructor. And one of the jobs that he had in a country club that he worked for in San Jose was to be their golf instructor, but also to run the pro shop. And so he took care of the inventory there, he took care of the sales there, and he took care of the special sales. And it must be about 7 or 8 years ago now that his general manager and the board decided that at Christmas time they were going to rename their sale to be a holiday sale. It could no longer be a Christmas sale because that might offend someone. Well, Tom is a devout Christian, and it offended him that they were trying to rename the holiday and to rename the sale. And it was really bothering him a lot. And he and I, he came to me and talked about this and was trying to figure out how to respond as a faithful Christian, what he should do about that. And so Tom was approached by the general manager saying, "So are you ready for the holiday sale?" And Tom said, "No, we're not going to have a holiday sale this year." And he said, "What do you mean we're not going to have a sale?" And Tom said, "Well, we're going to have a Christmas sale because that's what it is. That's what people understand it to be for. That's the season that it's in. And it will be a Christmas sale, or somebody else is going to have to be doing it." So then Tom came back into me and he said, "What have I done? It might cost me my job, you know." And he knew that it could cost him his job, but he was feeling so pulled by God to not just let this go by, not just put aside this cross he was being asked to carry. You know, I think the gospel lesson that talks about Jesus saying to take up our cross and follow him. Certainly there are people in the world who are literally risking their lives to profess their faith in Jesus Christ. Thankfully in this country, we don't have much of that, but we sure have lots of pressure to live the life we're really being asked to live. And Tom decided he could not set this aside. It's something he had to carry. And so he went back to work the next day wondering if he still had a job. And the general manager said, "So how are things going with the Christmas sale this year?" And it actually went really well. They had a great sale that year. But more importantly, he felt very good about having stood up for what he felt he should stand up for. We have this impetuous disciple, Peter, who rebuked Jesus for making the pronouncement that he was going to suffer. He was going to be rejected by the leaders of Judaism, and he was going to be killed. What an outlandish thought Peter must have imagined. He's the anointed one. I know it because it was just one chapter back. I saw him at the Transfiguration. I know that he can glow. I know that he's divine. I know he's the Son of God. How on earth could we have him killed? He's the Messiah. It doesn't even make sense. Well, Jesus' response to that is really unforgettable. And it's one of those passages in Scripture that I just always remember. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. And then he told everyone, not just his disciples, but the people gathered around as well, that we need to deny ourselves. We need to take up our cross and follow him. Well, this is a big step past just saying, follow me. Jesus really is calling all of humankind. He's calling you and me personally to a higher standard of thought, a higher standard of conduct than we would ever have if it is only based on our judgment of what we think is right and wrong. This is an absolute standard that we're really being offered to live a life that is meeting and accepting the will of God. His rebuke to Peter was forcing Peter to think about what God wants out of Jesus' ministry and not just what Peter wanted out of Jesus' ministry. You and I are called to deny ourselves. And that doesn't mean to think less of ourselves, but to think of ourselves less. Not to think less of ourselves, but to think of ourselves less. It's about setting aside all the burdens that the world throws at us, and it does. And it's saying, don't just ignore them. Don't try to circumvent them, because we can't. We are in the world. We're not of the world, right? We're spiritual beings in a physical body. We have a mind and a spirit and a body. And we need to honor that we have both of those natures that live within us. And we need to honor that the physical existence on this planet Earth is going to impose burdens on us that we can't just dismiss. They are real. But do we allow them to direct our lives? No. We're called to a higher standard. We're called to a standard to pick up those. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. I think that means that our calling is to pick up those burdens and know that we need to address them, but we're not going to address them alone. That Jesus is with us. Jesus partners with us. Jesus strengthens us and empowers us through his Spirit living in us so that we can handle those burdens in a way that fulfills God's will. Abraham knew that God was always going to come first. He was reckoned to God as righteous, right? And he left his home country. He left his own people. He left his father's household to go to a country that he knew that God was leading him to. He had separated from everything he knew, everything he loved, in order to fulfill God's will. This is an example of him taking that burden and taking it on because he knew that the higher calling was to do God's will. Abraham also trusted, even at age 99, even knowing that his wife Sarah could not have children, that God would fulfill the promise that he would have a son. And he never lost that faith that somehow the God of creation was going to fulfill that. Abraham trusted God's will again when he submitted to the command that God gave him to sacrifice that only son, Isaac. Abraham always put God's plan ahead of any personal plan, and he trusted God's will. February 14th was only 10 days ago when a gunman ran into Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, and he started shooting high school students. One of the images that just is at the front of my mind when I think of that horrific event was the assistant football coach, Aaron Feiss, who threw himself in front of high school kids to save their lives. And he did. He saved lives. And he was killed. a spokesperson for the football program at the high school said he died the same way he lived. He put himself second. He put himself second. It ends up being a choice, doesn't it? And I've thought a lot about whether Aaron Feist ever had the opportunity to make a mental choice. I don't think so. I think it was a response. I think it was instinctive for him because his call was to love kids and to protect kids and provide a safe place for kids. And so he stood in front of a gunman. God made a covenant with humankind by giving us his son. And Jesus bore that cross because he knew that it was God's will. So here we have God who enters into a covenant with you and me, with all of humankind, to love us, and love us so much that he would give up his own son. And the basis of making that huge of a commitment is God's absolutely unbound love for you. That's how much he loves us. And Jesus submitted himself to that will because that's how much Jesus loves us. And that's how much Jesus loves the Father. I gave each of you a pocket coin at the beginning of Lent, and on the pocket coin it says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Well, the obvious intent of that phrase is for us to think of the sacrificial lambs on the altar in the temple. And Jesus is the sacrifice who has been made. He is the cross who has been borne by our own God. What cross, what earthly burden do you face? And how can you invite Jesus to pick up that burden and share it with you? He said, "Take my yoke upon you. My burden, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus' mission in his life here on earth was to show us that these burdens that you and I face, each of us, are burdens that we're not intended to carry alone. We carry them because it is part of our earthly life, but we do not carry them alone. That Jesus, by our following him, he shares that load with us, and he is with us through our addressing those burdens. You and I are called to a higher standard than our own. God wants that higher standard to be a choice. There is a exchange that is done in the Right One service that I'd like to try out on our Right Two congregation here at 10 o'clock because it just sums up this message so much, I think. O Lamb of God that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you.